You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Fusco. This message was recorded on April 17th, 2024, and is titled Redeem the Times. Grab your Bible, turn to the book of Colossians, and let's join Steve and the message.
Hey, a couple things I want to announce right quick. All of us together, y'all are a generous bunch. We talked about this a little bit, but we're kind of caught up now. When we got ready to help with the fires up there in the panhandle, we looked for individuals and opportunities and whatever God led us to do. And a lot of people that are watching tonight or have watched, sent in money. A lot of y'all you're so generous all the time that this outfit is always prepared to do whatever we need to do. Because your generosity, and I got in a discussion about that today, about teaching people how to give. And I said, you know what? That's probably the dumbest statement I ever heard. How do you teach somebody to give? You're either generous or you're not. You're either tight-fisted or you're open-handed. The reason they have to teach you to give because somebody doesn't want to lead by example. That's the best way. So we're givers around here. And so we ended up about $107,000 invested in the fires up there. We blessed 24 fire departments with $1,000 apiece. We bought a couple loads of hay, cost $4,800, get that up there. We bought a semi-load of Rio Max lick tubs. There's a card around here somewhere. They really, really appreciated those lick tubs. And that load of lick tubs cost $58,000. Then we found four more households, or four households that had lost everything, and we sent them $5,000 apiece to help them get started. So that come to $107,000. So y'all give the Lord a little praise offering. And also, Bailey County Senior Center is having a pancake, egg, bacon, and sausage breakfast April the 20th. That's this Saturday. Yeah, this Saturday, and it'll 7 o'clock in the morning till 11 o'clock. Go help the Senior Center up here. And while I got the microphone on this, there's some opportunities. Annette's the director up there now, and we're creating some opportunities for people to extend their generosity. This outfit participates in a pretty big way in keeping the doors open on that thing and trying to help out. But also as individuals, I know Robin and I, we're pledging to give a little bit a month and to keep everybody going, but they're having a hard time. And here's the downside to it all while I'm on my little soapbox here for a second. But there's government entities like SPAG that send money, do things, and they pay for a lot of stuff. Our government pays for a lot of stuff. So that means you're paying for a lot of stuff. That's not the government's money. That's our money. And so they do it however they want to. They make whatever rules they want to make, yada, yada, yada. A long time ago, Meals on Wheels decided we didn't need government assistance anymore, and they've been self-sustaining ever since, feeding 70 to 80 people five times a week. I don't know what day the Senior Center will be self-sustaining, but it's the first time you can tell the United States government to take their checkbook and fly a kite, you're doing a good job. Our God in heaven's our sustainer. He's our provider. His people are generous people. And those people up there, when you think about the veterans and the people who started things in this community, your grandparents, great-grandparents, neighbors that use that Senior Center for fellowship, for food, for whatever it is they do up there, for their enjoyment and everything else. They're worth the investment. So I'll just throw that out there right quick. Anybody gets that on your mind a little bit. I don't hang around up there any yet because I'm not old enough. Well, I may be old. I'm too darn busy. I'll just tell you that. But it's a good place, and Rob and them been going up there, little her and Ransom been going up there and eating chicken fries on Wednesday, and it's just a good spot, and a good spot for some really good people. And just like everybody's community, it's a crying shame when the best things in our community go to pot because they've been totally relying on the government, and the people never would step up and do it because the government was always doing it for us. Well, in this town is of the people, by the people, and for the people, and we ought to just tend to our own stuff and tell them to go fly a kite, and I think we'd get along a lot better. So anyhow, that's my little speech on that day. Go eat some pancakes at least, and that'll be a good deal. Got quite a few more coming in here. It's come a long ways. There's people drove all the way from down around Hobbs, New Mexico, and they didn't know we don't have a bathroom. Yeah, once again, if you just arrived, there is no bathroom service tonight, but there is across the street if you need to go. Sun will be down in a minute if you need to run outside. So that's all I'm going to say about that. Monday night, where's Alan at? Is he outside? They're directing traffic, or he's across the street. There he is. Hey, Alan, I never got a chance to ask you with everything going on. Would it be all right if we invited people to stick around a little after Sunday morning and we had a little table setting up deal and a little work time Sunday morning after the Bible study? And some of you that don't go on Sunday morning, be a good chance for you to come and go. And we won't need a lot of help, but somebody won't stick around. Because Monday night looks like we've got between 225 and 250 people signed up so far to come. They're coming from all over the country, and a lot of people that are coming right here close to, but we're feeding everybody. We've got a great lady going to serve a great meal. You can tell just looking around, we're going to be logistically challenged. So we'll have to rotate some people. We'll start feeding about six, and we'll start moving them around. Some of them may have to sit in here and eat without a table. I think it's going to be nice that night. We can put some tables outside if we need to. We're going to put the baptismal right outside the door. I know we've got at least three that I know of going to be baptized Monday night. But here's the deal. Whether you come for all the food and the fellowship and everything else, I think the teaching on Passover for the Christian community is going to be life-changing for some people. The simplicity of it, getting back to the roots of what Jesus instituted and instituted in our families, I think is going to be life-changing. I sent a word by way of a friend to another friend to Israel this morning. Hezekiah reinstituted the Passover. But there's a Passover that counts. There's a Passover that represents covenant. And it's the bread and the cup. And until you recognize Jesus as Messiah, you're in a mess. As a family, as a nation, whether you be Israel or you be the United States of America, Jesus Christ is Messiah. There's no way around it. And you play this game, you can tell it however you want to tell it. And when we get done Monday night, you'll have two choices. You can serve the God of your fathers across the Jordan, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And we're going to do it every day. And men, you're going to lead. I'm done doing it for you. Do it. It's just like the guy that asked me today, well, who's going to teach us how to give? Same guy that taught you how to drink water. Comes natural. When the Spirit of the living God lives in you, it's already there. The only people that need trained in this stuff is the people who don't have the Spirit of God. You realize that? We have trained people that don't have the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will teach you all things and remind you of everything Jesus said. The Spirit of God will bring revelation to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The Spirit of God will minister to your mind, body, and soul 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The Spirit of God will never leave you nor forsake you. He is here. He is in us. He is among us. The kingdom of God is at hand. It is near. It is upon us. If you don't realize that, then you haven't realized anything. You're still waiting on somebody. Somebody to scratch your itch and tell you some other thing that you think you need to know. Let me tell you today what you need to know. You need to know the risen Lord Jesus Christ and know him for yourself. We're going to continue to teach on all the details of everything in that Bible so we can help each other know God better, know Jesus better, so we get out this house, go to your house. This is our only hope for generational sustenance. You have to raise your children in the admonition of the Lord, and that does not mean hand them off. And to recognize the covenant that we have with God. And by Monday night, I'll have that laid out in every detail. Every detail. I'm not going to tell anybody what to do. I'm not going to tell you how to do it. I'm just going to tell you what I know. If you never come back, suits me. If you go home, put some things into place, suits me better. If you'll come back and keep learning, we'll learn together and we'll get better at this than we ever got. But I've been 29 years, and I'm finally full circle. I'm done. Now, we know what we know. Now we can talk about it, teach, help each other, grow in it. So you can go home and you can lead your family. You be the youth leader. You be the educator. You be the prayer warrior. You stand in the gap. I sought for a man to stand in the gap and I found none. And I think in America today, that's the family. I'm not going to do it for you. I'll do it with you all day. But I'm not going to do it for you. Last Tuesday, not yesterday, but a week ago, I walked in and I asked the men, first thing, I said, Jesus said, do this as often as you think of me. And I said, when did it become my job to tell you you're going to think of him? Y'all listening now, ain't you? Yeah. Not one excuse. When he said, I came to reconcile all things unto myself, he took out all the excuses. No excuse for man not to be able to pray. No excuse for man not to read his Bible. No excuse. None whatsoever. I've been standing up here in front of you people now for 21 years. While I still run my business, run my job, take care of my family, rope with my grandkids, do all the normal stuff that everybody else does. And I've been in search of something that would save your home, save my home, and save my country. And I found it. I'm done. So Monday night will be a really good night for some people. Not every people, but some people are going to realize you're going to be just like the guys on the road to Emmaus. And when you break the bread, you're going to realize heaven's going to open up right in front of your eyes. And the best way to do that is not have some guy standing in the front between you and it. You do this. Your greatest treasure is your family. The whole time we wrote songs for 200 years around here about heaven, singing about heaven, we should have been writing songs and singing about your family. Because where your heart is, your treasure is also. And if you don't love your family, don't tell me you love Jesus. It's easy to sell the idea of heaven. because nobody wants to go to hell unless you're just mean or stupid. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Most everybody would like to save their family. Most everybody that likes to save their family really don't know how. Well, I'm going to help you with a simple thing this week. Spending time with your family. It's something me and Robin have given lip service now to for 5 years that we finally activated. I'll tell you, it was funny this week. This weekend, Ryder J and I went roping. Man, it was good. We're both silly. We like to rope. We like hanging out with each other. He makes me smile. I make him smile. We both, we're satisfied to eat at McDonald's. And, we do really good together. So we've been taking communion every day. And the other morning we got out of the motel and we got in the pickup. And when we was leaving the motel, I told him, I said, we got some crackers there in the pickup and we'd been taking communion. And I said, let's get us some of that, I think there's some of that cranberry juice over in that machine and we'll take that out to the pickup with us on our way. And he come running back in there. He said, Pawpaw, that thing's broke. He said, I got orange juice. I said, that'll work. And I sat in the pickup and took communion with my grandson on our way to a team roping. And we talked about the sacrifice of Jesus and the blood of his covenant and how God was going to lead us through the whole day if we were willing to be led. How God could look at us right at that very moment, and if there was anything in us, any stain or wrinkle that needed to be rubbed out right quick, he'd be more than glad to take care of it. And we prayed together. When we got done, there was a guy standing in the parking lot staring at us in the pickup. I didn't even tell you about that part. Roger J. perked up and he said, hey, there's a guy over here. I said, Roger J., in America today, do you know how many people have never seen anybody pray? I said, I bet that was an odd sight to a man that just got out of his pickup at a motel. And there's two guys in a pickup with their head bowed and look like they're praying. And pick their heads up and hug each other in a pickup at a motel. You see, every non-Christian in America knows what Christians do. They assume. That's why we're so indoctrinated into this stuff, because even non-Christians know where you are on what day of the week. They know about your Easter. They know about your Christmas. Non-Christians know everything you do. You know what they don't know? Is that a grandpa will pray with a grandson and take communion in a pickup. Because we're believers in Jesus. We're not Sunday followers. We're not church attenders. We're believers in Jesus. And that is rare. And so when I explained that to Ryder J., I said, you know how hard it is to walk up on a pickup with two guys praying? You got to be a good shot. You can't do that every day, just pull up at Walmart somewhere. And I said, Ryder J., you reckon God had anything to do with that guy? You think God's timing might be kind of good? You reckon that guy might be having a little trouble at home or anything? I said, he took trotting off when we picked our heads up. He scattled on down the road there, but we didn't get a chance to talk to him. But I'm telling you today, the stuff that we do as a Christian outside the building, and we're going to talk about that right quick tonight, outside the building, not as a group, just individuals believing in Jesus and doing what you do because you believe in Jesus and you know the Word of God. I'm realizing now as I go around religious gatherings, how many people pray and you can tell they don't have any idea about the Word of God, and it makes you wonder if they even know Jesus just by what comes out of their mouth. I don't want to be that guy. I don't necessarily have to be this guy either. Because as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I've watched the Christian community double down on some of the dumbest stuff that there is in the world. I've seen them double down on the traditions of men that make the Word of God of no effect. Well, I'm going to double down on what I know. And I guarantee you it's going to help my family. And if you want help with yours, get busy. Get busy. Leave what that's behind and move towards that what is ahead. So let's pray right quick. And I'm going to read a little out of the Bible and we'll get you out of here. Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you tonight. Thank you for your communion, for your Passover. You are our Passover, and I thank you for that, Jesus, that by your blood and through your body, we were bought into a covenant that's everlasting, a covenant that promises, Lord, promises a family, promises generations, promises a place to dwell, that you came to give us life, life to the full, that you instituted family, man and woman, to procreate, to bring forth godly offspring. We thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the power, and the truth, and the teaching, and the ministering that comes from your Holy Spirit. And tonight we give you praise and glory, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Look in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4. We're not going to do very many verses tonight. Anyhow, I'm going to get you all out of here so you can go to the bathroom. In verse 2, chapter 4, Colossians. This is really good stuff right in here. But continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Now let me help clarify some of this. Continue earnestly in prayer. I want us to look at ourselves tonight. Do you earnestly pray? Do you earnestly pray over your family? People at your job? Do you pray for men who are and women who are ministers of the gospel who are out leading the charge? Do you pray? That's all Paul said. He said, all I want is for open doors for this gospel. He's in chains. He's imprisoned. I love Paul. He never chose the easy road. Modern day Christianity is like water. We migrate to the lowest point. Nobody wants to do the hard stuff. Nobody wants to suffer. Nobody wants to take a chance. Nobody wants to face ridicule. Nobody wants to look silly. We're going to have to. Do you realize that now's the time? So what if now is the time? All your life you've heard about there's a time. I'm not talking to time. I'm not talking about a Tim LaHaye book. I'm not talking about, what's his name with the disappearance or whatever. Let me tell you, that's a load of baloney. I'll just be straight up. That's a load of baloney, and anybody that wants to come share in the baloney, come and I'll be glad to sit with you, and we'll feast at the table. But there's a time coming when the nation of Israel is going to realize the Messiah. And somewhere in there, America is going to have to realize again the Messiah. There's coming a time when the institution of religion is no longer going to get to play the game for ultimate finance and the Bless Me ministries and all this different stuff that's all about us. This is not about us. And the time could very well be right now. Here in a minute, we'll read the words, redeem the time. It's high time we take this serious. I'm not talking about beam me up, Scotty. I'm talking about a time when the earth shakes and the kingdom stands. I'm talking about the revealing of the kingdom of God to all the unaware. I'm talking about judgment. I'm talking about the salvation of Israel. I'm talking about the salvation of America. What if now's the time? Is the church ready for the time? Is our house built on the sand or is it built on the rock? Are we pretty busy figuring out all the formulas, times, dates, all this stuff? Let me tell you when you won't have to figure it out anymore. The day that you realize Jesus fulfilled everything in your life. When you realize there's nothing you can do to gain his favor. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. When you realize that the Messiah, the Lamb of God, did everything necessary to bring you into covenant and give you new life and make you a new creation and give you the opportunity to live to the full.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.